The mothers were looking for a sperm donor for their child, and I was looking for either a single lady or a couple to produce a child with that I would be the father of.
And I think in the ladies' ad, they mentioned the dad being a kind of uncle figure to the child, and in your ad, you talked about your desire to be a parent, to be a father.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in my ad, I offered financial assistance.
And you found each other.
That's right.
Two mums and you.
That's right.
You had the child, or you supplied the sperm, obviously, and the lady got pregnant and had the child. Your relationship was really good at that point, wasn't it?
Well, it was, because we were all sort of anxious to have a child and we were determined to make it happen, and that's what happened. I mean, I did have other people interested at the time, but these particular women were very determined, as I was, to have a child.
And I think in that early period, you paid for some of the antenatal things
I
and.
paid for all their fertility treatment because the biological mother was in her early 40s, so, and I was in my late 40s at the time, so, she needed fertility treatment to be able to fall pregnant, which was expensive, and I offered to pay for that, which they, were very happy to accept my money. And then also I paid for the midwife and her afterbirth treatments that she had to have.
Now, when the child was born, there was great happiness all around, of course.
Well, there was the great joy. We celebrated the occasion at a restaurant and it was fabulous. But then after the child was born, there was no clear-cut schedule set up as to what contact I was going to have. And that was the cause of the situation to deteriorate. And not only that, they did agree to some extent that I would have contact with the child, but they refused any contact with my extended family, like my mother, my sister, my nephews. They didn't want those people involved in the child's life whatsoever.
Okay, I mean, it's fair to say, to be fair to all parties in this, that there wasn't a lot of kind of documentation or written down agreements between you all as to what your role would be, whether it would be an uncle, I suppose, at one level, or a real father on another level.
No, and that was probably my biggest mistake because I was very naive. Because, I mean, this is all something relatively new. I mean, sperm donors and the way people create babies these days, it's all only been happening in the last 10 or 15 years. So, I mean, I didn't know a lot about it myself. I really just trusted these women to do the right thing by me. That's basically what I did. I thought that they'd just do the right thing, which was what I would do if the tables had been reversed, but unfortunately, I don't consider they have done the right thing. They've just used me, and when they got what they wanted, I was disposable.
I mean, the positive side of this, and I know there's a lot of difficulty in it. The positive side is I noticed from the court documents that you say quite clearly in one of your letters to the mums, they are wonderful mums to this girl, and they return the favour in a way. They say all your contact with the little girl has been great. You know that you've been a positive figure.
Well, up until the time they separated, so they have separated, I think, in 2006. So, matters obviously got more difficult at that time because the child was now split between three people. Before, it was only split between two, but
That's right.
now
The mum split, and they were looking after the child one
they
week
got
apart.
50%, which they agreed to, and I had contact orders which I obtained through the family court because they didn't give me a schedule in the beginning. I had to go through the family court twice to get a schedule for my access to
Yeah,
my.
because you basically had a little couple of hours twice a week, that sort of thing.
No, I got 5 hours every 2 weeks,
Every 2 weeks.
and I got overnight contact in the school holidays. I got extra time for Father's Day and Christmas,
Now it's
and I was
all.
able to attend any of her school functions at her school.
Yes. And now it's all come to a head in this quite interesting legal case where one of the mums, and not the birth mother, but the other mum, wanted her name on the birth certificate. Now that this has become legally possible quite recently, I think in 2008 it was. But of course, to have her name on the birth certificate, she had to apply for your name to be removed.
Well, that's correct. And the main issue here is the birth certificate, which does only have a provision for the father. But, if your name's on the birth certificate as the father, that automatically gives you parental rights. And that's what they didn't want me to have. They didn't have a problem with me being known to the child as a father, but they were certainly against me being referred to as a parent.
Mm-mm.
And being on the birth certificate automatically gives you 50% parental rights. And as in this country at the moment with the current law, you can only have two legal parents. So the law would have had to be changed to have three legal parents, which has happened overseas in other countries, like Canada it's happened, but in this country this is all sort of, you know, that it hasn't been done in this country.
So you feel following today's decision really out in the cold, don't you?
Well, I just don't know where I stand now with my daughter because, you know, she knows me as her father. She knows me as her parent. I've had a 10-year relationship with her. You know, I did financially support her with child support, which I didn't have to do. I paid her school fees. She went to a private school, so the school fees were expensive, which I paid for. And, so at the moment, I don't even know if she is my daughter and I'm her father. I mean, Father's Day is in 2 weeks' time, which normally I would see her on that day. But the way it's going, I don't really feel like I am a father. I don't know what I am as far as the Australian laws. Law is. I mean, I don't know what I am. At the moment, I don't seem to be anything. It's like, you know, what am I? I mean, I heard on 2UE, I think it was 2CH today, when Bob Rogers just referred to me as a wanker when they said they didn't know what I was. I think took offence to that because, you know, I'm not a wanker.
You've made a sperm donation. I
donated sperm and I wanted to have a child and I wanted to have a relationship with my daughter. And the problem in this country at the moment, I mean, sperm donors, the majority of them don't want to be involved in their child life. Most of them are just anonymous, which I think is outrageous. I think all sperm donors should have a register so that child in the future, if they want to know their identity, they should be able to locate that donor and find out just where they came from. Where at the moment, the majority of donors, no one knows who they are. I don't think it's in the best interest of the child. This judge didn't take any of that into consideration.
I understand what you're saying, but there's also, it is important to recognise in a lesbian relationship that the non-biological mother is a very important part of this picture too, that she's effectively being the day-to-day parent for the child, and so she's got a role too in this.
Well, I don't have a problem with that, and I've acknowledged that in my affidavit to the court, that I think that there should be three parents. I think there should be the two mothers, and I think the father, if the father wants to have involvement with the child's life, he should also be in the picture. At the moment, I've just been thrown in the trash can. I mean, my position as the biological father is not worth anything.
Well, some would say that, you know, the piece of paper is not the important thing, that the important thing is your relationship with this child.
Well, I disagree with that, because the piece of paper tells the child who a father is. If I was to drop dead tomorrow or disappear, I mean, my daughter wouldn't know who I was.
No, well, she does. She does know who you are. You know.
Yes, but her children and my grandchildren, and right down the line, if she wants to check her heritage, she won't. It'll stop at this lesbian's. You know, there won't be any record of me, and it also takes away her right to inherit my estate, because I do have a considerable sum of money, and that's one of the reasons why these lesbians took advantage of me when they saw my home and my car. They just saw dollar figures, and they just knew that I'd pay out all this money to them, which I did. And I also wanted an heir. When I decided to have a child, I wanted a child because I thought I'd be a fabulous parent.
But you can still make her the beneficiary of your will.
I can make her the beneficiary. Well, she is in my will as my major beneficiary of my will. But the thing is, do you think I really want to leave my money to somebody that I don't have any contact, I don't have any record of who I am? And the money would go to these two women. You know, they would be in control of my estate.
Well, it depends on how old she is.
I've got a will that the money's tied up in trust.
If there's wisdom to draw, and I can feel your pain about it, but if there's wisdom to draw about this, draw from your experience, it is this, isn't it? That when you sit down to do these arrangements, that really everyone's got to be very upfront right at the beginning, maybe in writing, about what the expectations are.
Well, even if that's the case, it's not a legally enforceable document. The way it is at the moment, the sperm donor doesn't have any legal rights whatsoever, even if you had an agreement.
Simon, do you regret doing it?
I don't regret having a daughter, because I know one day she'll come looking for me. Because, I watch that program on television all the time, Find My Family, And there's been so many cases where, you know, the Stolen Generation with Aboriginals and all these women that gave up their children for adoption in the 50s and 60s. And all those children want to know their identity, and they spend a lot of time tracking down their biological, usually the father and sometimes the mother. But, you know, I know when my daughter's old enough, you know, when she's totally independent from these two women, she'll come looking for me. She knows where I live. She knows where I hide the key to the house. When she's independent and she can get on a train without those two women, you know, she'll come looking for me. I know she will, because she loves me. I know she loves me. So, you know, it's going to be a tragedy for her, because I don't know at the moment if I'm going to be able to continue to see her. My mother still sees her. So fortunately, these women are still letting my 88-year-old mother have a relationship.
Well, look,
we
feel bystanders to this awful situation between all the parties.
And well,
I hold to the one good part of this that you've all said in these court documents, that you acknowledge that you've been good. You've all been good to this little girl, which is an important part of this story. It's the law coming up into the sort of messy reality of human beings. Simon, thank you for telling us your side of the story this afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right.
There's a man we're choosing to call Simon. It's important in such matters we don't do anything that will identify him and therefore the child. But it's a kind of messy, interesting human story about the law, which has been changed. Now, I guess you can understand the reason it's been changed in 2008 to allow both mothers' names, in this case, to be on a birth certificate. But that's the kind of point of view of the male donor, who therefore is being kicked off the document. What do you make of all of that? 1300 222 702 is the number here on Drive.